What did Rav Shimon Halevi say? He says, lo kasher, he says. Well, it's not a difficulty, he says. Oh, b'dobro, oh, b'dobosa, right? Which means you have country mouse and city mouse.
Wow.
Okay. So, Rashi, I have to read you now what Rashi says. The last two lines of Rashi over there. Okay? The Mosa. What kind of a mouse do you find in town? It says, Achbod Shal Yishu. That's, you know, the one that we see all the time running around over here. And it's Ma'ish. He says, who the heck wants to eat something like that? Right? Even that will not be eaten by a king. Okay. But what is Achbod the Dovra? The one out in the field? So he says, Eskurel Belaz, which is Old French for squirrel. Squirrel is also a rodent. And apparently, you know, kings back in the old days, I'm not talking about a Jewish king, Chas v'Shalom, but, you know, to have squirrel meat, that they did. Of course, I know in France, for example, farmers used to go out and shoot the squirrels and eat the meat. No question.
And they use the fur.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Right. So, in that particular case, what, yeah. Right,
but that
so.
Would rather be a large mouse to be flying swimming around in the beer.
We assume that is the city mouse.
The city.
It was the city mouse, because that, he says, is more east. That's the one that's,
yeah.
abominable. Yeah. The other one is not. Okay. All right.
Yeah. The other one's so cute. I don't like squirrels.
So, that brings back the question again. About Rav, right? Why did Rav prohibit the beer, right? My time of the Rav, so, so he says, Omar Rava, so Rava said as follows, he says, that's the end of the fourth line from the bottom. Hilchaso, he says, the halacha is, Naisain Tam Livgam Butar, he says. The general principle is that if it spoils the taste, it's okay, it's permissible. The Achbara Bishikhwa Lo Yadana My Tabad Rav, says, however, when this business with the mouse and the beaver, he says, we really don't know what is the reason of Rav. If you argue Mishum Nikosovar, that he's of the opinion that Nesin Tam Livgan Osur, right, that Nesin Tam Livgan is prohibited, so he says, well, let's Hilchasor Kavosin. Then the halacha doesn't follow him, because what do we say? The halacha follows the opinion that says, No, you say Tom Livgam is Mutar, right? So, he Mishubna Kosovar, No, you say Tom Livgam Mutar, and if, on the other hand, he believes that, in general, you know, that No, you say Tom Livgam is permitted, then the Achbo Bishikhwa Ashbuchi Bishabach, Ashbuchi Bishabach, that we have to assume that Rav is of the opinion that the mouse in the beer actually improved the taste of the beer. So many arguments, you know, like this with golden finger.
Have to make it fit.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's see what time is about. I will learn another 5-10 minutes, and of course my voice is going right. We'll need the next page, which is here. Now this is the old one. Where's my new one? Yes. trouble with the machine that day when I did it. But it has the text of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Just didn't get everything on it. Commentary on the side. All right. So, the last two words on the previous page are Yibo Elohim. Ask the following question. Okay. So now we'll continue on the next page. Says, No Paul Lego Hola. My. Let's say that this time it's a mouse that fell into vinegar.
Vinegar?
First we had beer, so now they ask the question. What if it fell into vinegar? Okay.
What word is for vinegar?
Vinegar? Chala. Right, right. Yeah. It's Aramaic, obviously, right. Because in Hebrew the word is really chometz.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from the same idea as chometz, chometz. Yeah. Chometz yain, chometz shech, right? Okay, so it fell into vinegar. My. What? So Amalei Rav Hillel, the Rav Ashi, so Hillel said the Rav Ashi, he says, Hava Ruvdo Be'Rav Kahana. The event just like this happened in the house of Rav Kahana. The Yosa Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana prohibited. So Omalehu. So he said to them, you know why I prohibit it? Not because I don't hold that Nesin Tam Nifgam is Osur. But he says, Hahu Imartut, which means the mouse that fell into the vinegar dissolved into small pieces. Got pickled. Ravina Savar.
These are very interesting words, aren't they?
Yes.
I'm a tuti.
Right, right. Well, this is Aramaic, obviously.
Yeah.
In Hebrew, we never know such a word. Okay. Ravina Sovar Lishiuri Bimeyav Echad. So Ravina was of the opinion that in this particular case, we should permit the vinegar if it was 101 times the piece of mouse that was there. Omar, he said, Lo gara mitruma, he says, this is no worse, he says, than truma. Ditnan, where we learn the Mishnah, which says, truma oilo de yechod ubeya, that if a piece of truma fell into, you know, ordinary food, okay? So if the quantity was 101 times the quantity of the truma, then in that particular case, it would be annulled.
The truma would be annulled,
right.
So they could eat it.
Right, right, right.
Because if it
had truma, in other words, if it loses its right, right. Whereas, you know, we learned that if it were not annulled, you know, then in that particular case, you couldn't, right. Okay. 101 times.
Boy, how did they make that measure?
They took a measure. Omalei Rav Tachlifa Bar Gizi L'Ravina. So Rav Tachlifa Bar Gizi said to Ravina, Dilma Ketavlin Shel Truma B'Kadeira Domi. Says, maybe in this particular case, it's more like the case of spices in the pot, which never can be nullified. In other words, the spice is so sharp, the taste, that it will never disappear, and under those circumstances, you can never annul it. Rav Achai Shia B'Chala B'Chamishin. Rav Achai said, all that you need is 50 times the amount in vinegar. Rav Shmuel B'Reid Raviko, he said, Shia B'Shichwa B'Shisin. He says, all that you need is 60 times, 1/60th, right? 60 times the beer. The Hilchasa, Edi, the Edi Bishisim, right? That whether it's one case or the other, it's 60 times is the amount. V'chein kol ha'isurim shebatorah, and this applies to all prohibited substances in the Torah. But I have to tell you, even though it says that this applies, you know, it's a general rule that 60 times would be okay, but not in every case. There are always exceptions, and as we saw, one exception we just mentioned about is what the taste is so sharp that it doesn't lose its identity and therefore it can't be. We also had the case of min bimino, which means that if, you know, the prohibited substance is exactly like the permitted substance, so that, you know, they don't, you can't differentiate between them, and in that particular case it's also it's prohibited. So it's a good handy rule, but it doesn't always apply. And that's why, I mean, you really have to ask an individual case, you know, what is the proper procedure. Okay, with this we shall stop with the new Mishnah is coming up. So, Mirza Hashem, okay, and go home and root for the Red Sox. If it bothers you. Well, tonight is the 31st of October, the year 2007. And we begin now in Avodah Zarah, Samach Tes, Amud Aleph, at 69A, with the new Mishnah that we have on the page. Our last Inyanim dealt primarily with prohibited substances, and can they be annulled or can they not be annulled? And we've learned several different rules, categories concerning them. But now we go back to something that we have already discussed before, namely, the question of, can you trust somebody if you're not there 24 hours a day overlooking him, as to, you know, whether you could trust that the object still remains kosher or not. This is the theme of the Mishnah that we have in the Gemara that will now follow. Okay, so the Mishnah begins by saying, Oved Kechovim Shehoye Ma'avir Im Yisrael Kadayayin Memorkim Lamorkim. Case number one, if you had an idolater, right, and he was helping a Jew bring over jugs of wine or pitchers of wine or whatever it's called, let's say jugs of wine or barrels of wine, let's say barrels, because for a jug you don't need so much help, but for a barrel you do need a lot more help, okay, from one place to another. So Im hayo becheschas hamishtamer mutar. If it was in the chazaka, what is chazaka? Chazaka means that this is a presumption based on the fact that this is what happens all the time. So all the time, it's under watch. Okay. So in that particular case, then what? So if, let's say, the Jew stepped out for a moment, that would still be permitted, okay? In other words, it hasn't lost its status of being kosher. Im hodiyo, however, if he told the idolater, shehu maflik, that he was going to be absent, kidei sheyishtom v'yistom v'yigov, okay, that during a time, he's going to be absent for a time, which would give the goy an opportunity. So it doesn't say to him, I want you to do this, but it means that the goy now has the opportunity in the absence of the Jew. Okay, and that he could, first of all, yishno, he could bore a hole into the barrel or into the cork that's holding it in place, right? And then the yishno, and then obviously, what is he going to do? Is he boring the hole in? He bores a hole and then he draws out wine from it, as we saw before. He can put in a straw and, you know, and suck up the wine from inside, okay? And then time enough also for him to, yistom, to stop it up, the hole, stop up the hole, okay? The yigov. Now, what is he using for it? So the question, you know, he's using some sort of material in order to stop up the hole. Okay? So let's say he's using plaster. Or let's say that he's using mud or something or other. Okay. But he uses it, right? So it doesn't say over here what. But it's understood. What is he trying to? What is the? What are they trying to say?
The substance that he's going to fill it with can spoil the wine.
No, not the question that the substance is going to spoil the wine, but the fact that the Jew, when he comes back, will not be able to recognize the fact that he has gone into it. So, in that particular case, even though the Mishnah doesn't say so at this particular point, but the inference is that it is prohibited.
So, my question to
right.
you
yeah.
is, if the Jew doesn't recognize that it was done, how can it be prohibited?
So, the answer is, it's chazaka.
You know,
if you're only away for a short while, so in that particular case, you figure that he's not going to have that time in order to drill it, to drill, to draw out, plaster it over, etc., right? He won't have enough time for that. So in that particular case, it's okay. But if you're gone for too long a period of time, where he had all the time in the world in order to do these things, then in that particular case, you have to assume that he went and he did it, and therefore it is not kosher. Okay.
So they hired these people, but they didn't trust them.
Right. No. Listen, we have problems today with supervision also, you know, because if a person, if a mashgiach can't be on the premises every minute of the day, so you have to assume that the people who you're working with are trustworthy enough that if you can be yotzei v'nichnas, as we say, go in, go out, and so on all the time, and so on, so that they are afraid to do something wrong in your absence, then in that particular case, it's okay. But if you're never around and so on, then that, of course, that creates problems. So I don't want to say, you know, that automatically they're going to take advantage of it, but problems do arise. Yes?
You know, the strictness, if this is strictness, not just for wine, for anything,
right?
You know, brings a thought. My mind, I think I may have mentioned this to you before. There was all the talk about all the contaminated stuff coming out of Red China.
Right.
And they have a lot of food, for example.
Right. Oh, loads of food stuff that we're not aware of. Right.
They're talking about apple juice. And they say, you know, there's apple juice with a hair shirt. Can we assume that if it has a hair shirt, that it's something that's growing? In an area where there's a mashgiach, I don't know if there are any mashgiachs.
In the case of the apple, it would have to be that, you know, when they begin the processing of it.
Well, okay.
I mean, once they get the apples together, and then you start in, you crush them, you get the juice out, this is where you need the supervision.
But they do with some of these things.
Yeah.
I would assume with the apple juice, make a lot of sense economically to turn it to concentrate over there and sell the concentrate here.
Then it has to be done under supervision.
Concentrate.
has to be done under supervision. You take a look at many a label, you see it says that, for example, apple juice, it could have concentrate coming in from Argentina,
right,
from other countries, and so on and so forth.
But
that
then,
case,
but
if
no
I would see an OU on it or a
KFK
or something, right, they do send mashgichim over there. There are mashgichim working for the OU, for the KFK, for the OK, in China and in other countries as well. Right, they do have that.
The problem with the imports is that we often do not know the country of origin.
Well, they're supposed to have it on the label.
The FDA,
right,
monitors the country of origin, even something like fresh fish,
you've
got to have the country of origin.
But there's evidence
there's
been a lot of
failure. But the problem is there's a lot of adulteration, contamination. Only 1% of the food supply is actually of an inspected, imported food. I was just at a seminar last week. Head of the inspection unit in the state of New York, who's an expert on imported food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even surprised that people who work in public health, and only 1% of the food that comes in from overseas is
inspected.
Only 1%.
Oh.
So he put on his slideshow with all of these, of course, with all the lovely violations. Right before lunch.
But this is why, for example, with kosher meat, it's under continual inspection on the part of the mashgiach. Not necessarily the government inspector. Government inspector also, but the mashgiach really has to examine each and every animal or chicken or whatever it is, you know, that he has slaughtered.
But there are special. I was thinking this week because I bought the chopped ground turkey.
Ground meat, yeah.
Yeah, the ground turkey.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee, I don't know, is this cold enough? Is it, you know, has it been kept cold enough? And it's been packed who knows where and had to have been sent supposedly in protected refrigerator cars.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then what happens? It comes here into the supermarket. When did they unpack it? How long is it sitting there? So I took it home and put it in my freezer, and I wondered, am I gonna want to use
ask
it?
Ask the town.
You know,
ask,
I'm sorry.
Ask the town. Whether they have people on the loading dock checking temperatures as they receive food.
You can ask that question. Who would you ask? And would they get an answer?
Well, and you have to, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That should be the protocol.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, all these years that I've...
Right, you always took it for granted, exactly.
Took everything for granted.
That's the chazaka too, you know, you take it for granted.
I teach
Jews whenever I teach Jews. For me?
No.
Up till now, I've never had a problem. I'm not used to it. But you know, it's the first time I bought it at Stock and Shop. I always used to get it from Crown. But it's also packaged from the Crown. However, it's done there right away, as far as I know.
You know what? We have a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. God watches over literally the simple people.
Well, I'm very simple. No, it's just one of the
It's in the, we say it actually in Hallel.
Never go into a kitchen of a restaurant.
But they quote it in various places in the Talmud to show that God will take care of you. Hopefully. Okay. So now let's finish the first part of this Mishnah. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel lo imer, he says, G'day sheyiftach es hachovitz v'yigo v'nesigot. Okay. He only disagrees as to the amount of time, because the the anonymous Mishnah, as we would say, the Tanakhama, the first authority who makes the statement, even though we don't know who it is in this particular case, says that time enough in order to be able to bore a hole, right? So Rav Yishuv ben Gamliel apparently feels that the time is a little on the short side, maybe. But what he says is that if he has time enough to take off the cover, literally to open up the barrel, take off the cover, take a drink, right, and then seal it again, right, and plaster it over so that it would not be recognizable. So under those circumstances, if you're gone for that long, then in that case it's definitely not kosher.
All right,
so
if you've got a business, you want to stay there and take care of it.
Right. All right, so that's case number one. Now we're going to find some parallel cases mentioned in the Mishnah. Second case that they have is Ameniach Yado Yeno Bekoro No Besfido. The Jew is carrying barrels of wine, right? So what does he do? He puts it either on a karon is a wagon, or Besfido, he puts it on a ship, okay? The Halach Lo Bekapadria, okay? And what did this Jewish Balabos do? He went off by some side road over there. Nichdas the Medina. He went into town. Rochatz. He bathed. Went to the bathhouse or something, right? Mutar. It still is permissible. Because what do we say? We say that as long as he didn't inform the non-Jew, the idolater, that he was going, so the non-Jew will be in a state that any moment he might come back again. So that therefore you can trust on that. This is the basis of, as I said a few moments ago, about the Yotze v'Nichnas, that, if the Goy knows that the rabbi is going to come in at this particular, at any time, whatever, without you knowing when he's going to come in, so in that particular case, that helps to attest to the fact that everything is under control. Okay. And again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Well, the Mishnah continues first. Im hodiyo shehu mafzik deisha yishto miyisto miyigo. However, if he tells him in advance that I'm going to be gone for a time, right? And that time that he says, let's say I'm going to be gone for the next half hour, okay? No, next half hour. Goes away, the guy is left alone over there, right? And what does he do? He can draw this hole, right? Then he can close it up, he can plaster it over, and so on. So in that particular case, again, it doesn't say what, but it's obvious that it means that it's awesome, it's prohibited. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Oimer, Shimon again says, no, the amount of time has to be time enough. Time enough so that he could open up the barrel and naturally take his drink and so on from the barrel and then stop it up and plaster it open. Case number three. Now, the situation is that it's a Jewish storekeeper, right? And he leaves the premises, he leaves the idolater alone in the store. So afal pi sheyotza v'nechnos, even though he's continually going in and out, in other words, he's not there every minute of the day, but nevertheless, he's in there and out and in and out and so on and so forth. So mutar, in that particular case, that wine is permissible. However, if he let him know shehu matlik that he's going to be gone, kedei sheyishto meyishto meyigov, right? That time enough that he could board this hole, then stop it up, and the plaster it over. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Leiber, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, so that's also right. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel again says, Kidei she yiftach sechobis v'yigav sechobis. All right. Time enough so that the idolater could open up the top, right? And he would be able to then close it up and put the plaster or something on top of it. And sigo literally means and dry up. In other words, it dries to the extent that you can't tell, you know, that it was open before. So under those circumstances, then it is prohibited. Another case, Hoya Oichel Libo Al HaShulchan. Here we have a case that a Jew invites a non-Jew to sit with him at his table, and obviously what is it going to have? They're having a meal, right? The Niach Login Al HaShulchan. They left flasks of wine on the table. The Login Al HaDulke. Dovke. It should really be with a pay. Here it's with the pay. Of course, another place we find with to find this word with a pay. It means like a sideboard. And on the sideboard, he has also a jar of wine. Okay? Vehinicho. And then he gets up, goes out, Vehotso, right? So, Masha al Hashulchot Oser. Then whatever is on the table is prohibited. But Sha'al HaDovki, but whatever is on the sideboard, this is permissible. Because what is the assumption? That the goy did not have time enough to go to the sideboard and help himself over there, because he has the wine on the table anyway, but that he could help himself to very easily. If right. If he leaves just for a moment, so it still is permissible. I mean, he has to go to the bathroom, all right. Has to wash his hands. Okay, let's be polite. and then he comes back. So under those circumstances, you know, then we assume that the guy is not going to do anything, you know. He's not going to help himself with the Jewish wine. Because obviously he has wine of his own also over there. Okay, it's understood. We're talking about wine. But even with food, I mean, it would be a problem. It would be a problem if the guy eats a tray for food on one side of the table. But if the Jew serves only kosher food, then that's not such a problem anymore. You have to really know what are the exact circumstances. So they have to be more careful if he brings his own food or something like that. Right. You invite him in all probability to serving him kosher food. But the wine, we're always afraid that they're going to make a libation. And of course, even though we know that today the goyim don't make libations to wineless anymore, at least not those that we're in contact with, but still we are concerned about a non-Jew handling Jewish wine. So that this is why, I mean, we don't mind it today if the wine is, as we said, sealed and he's just putting it on the table. That's okay. We're not worried about that, as long as the Jew opens it up, right? Or we're not concerned if we, as we learned way, way back again, about the problem of mavushal, that if we boil the wine or pasteurize it today, which is considered also like on the way to boiling, I mean, it's hot enough, you know, to it's sort of, you know, it takes it out of the category, in other words, of wine that was offered on an altar, which was unadulterated wine. Yeah. So, under those circumstances, you know, a guy can serve you, you know, that kind of wine. as you know, you go to the banquet or something like that. Naturally, they're putting wine on the table and so on. But it's better if the Jew opens it up. In any case, it's better. Okay. All right. Now, whether getting back to the person, the man who, the Jew who invited the idolater to dine with him, for him or Malo, and if he said to him, have him, Mosek Vishesa, help yourself, just pour the wine. Now, Mosek itself really means not pour the wine, but as we know, it means to mix it with water, because their wine was so strong that it required mixing with water in order to make it palatable. They tell a joke that they asked one of the Jewish, the owner of a can of wine or something like that. He says, does your wine need mixing with water? So he said, we already have enough water in there.
You know, if that's the case, why would he put a, you know, bore a hole and put a straw in and suck up the stuff? It tastes so bad anyway. Why would
it? Well, if he has the Yetzirah for wine, so it won't prevent them, right? I have to tell you a little aside. Kesser people are used to drinking vodka every morning as daily services. Kadima people are not used to it. So, okay. They have such a desire for the vodka that they drink it, gazotay, as long as it doesn't do any harm to them, and they can drive straight when they can leave over here, Baruch Hashem. Right. No.
Also on the Tanya, these guys would have, they'd sit there, they really have the dominant. They have like a very short shoe, very, very short. This guy, one guy would go out to like a little side cabin. It was very nice. He'd take out like, you know, like you would see like if you, somebody was going to get married, you know, an engagement day. He takes out a little tray with like these little shot glasses and he pours everybody a shot of something. I don't think it was vodka, but you know, they were British, so it's probably something different. But he talks about a couple of
years ago in the old show plan.
What
a lot of people did, right? Some people were fabled over here in Springfield for their ability to take a tumbler full of wine, a tumbler full of schnapps every morning. Right. Okay. All right, so this last case again. All right, so we say, if it was only for a short while, right, then in that particular case, the wine not on the table but the wine on the sideboard is okay, because obviously he would have a chance to run over there and open up that one too. But if he said to him, go help yourself a drink, even the wine which is there on the sideboard is also is prohibited, because we figure if he said to him, I'm going to be gone for some time right now, so he can go over there and help himself to that wine too. And then it continues, it says, Chovios Pesuchos, if you have open barrels, Asuros, it is prohibited, right? Sesumos, however, if it is sealed, then Mutoros, then they are permissible. Kadesh Yiftach the Yigav Hesigav, and this applies where the time is too short for him to do what? To open it up, make a hole in it, and then have it dry. So this is what the Mishnah says.
The Mishnah so far, and that's why it's been case after case,
right,
without the
right, argumentation. Right, right, correct. I mean, the fact that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you know, he says that you have to have... it's more of a problem you know, if he has time enough in order to open it up, you know, take the cover off, and so on and so forth. But that's only a question of timing. It doesn't deny the basic premise being that if you keep an eye on the situation by not telling the person that you're going to be gone for a longer period of time, then in that particular case, it is permissible. But if you tell them, I'm going to be gone for a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it may be, or something like that, then in that particular case, you can't trust the fact, you know, that he didn't help himself to it. So this is what it boils down to. Yes.
Okay, I understand the boring of all. I'm not sure I understand what Shimon Ben Gamliel is talking about. What is opening the cover of the barrel applying?
Instead of boring a hole into, let's say, the stopper.
Yeah.
Sticking in a straw.
Right.
Taking a sip or something like that.
Right.
Okay? Making a libation, whatever it's doing over there. Okay? So, that's what the Mishnah in general, that is the Tanakhama, that it says. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says that that maybe is a little too laborious to bore a hole into it. Take off the cover, help yourself, and then after that they have to put the cover back and
you
seal it.
And so on.
Okay,
cover.
Right.
What is this applying new cover?
Because the old cover obviously has been tampered with.
Right.
So, and the barrel is supposed to be sealed over. Of course, we're thinking in terms of a wooden barrel or something that we're familiar with, but they obviously used jugs that were made out of clay, and therefore with them, what did they have? So they had a jug, there was a cover that was on top of it, very often there would be, you know, a place where they could put in a spigot or something. It's inside over there, so that this is what we're talking about. So they stopped it up with the stopper. Well, that way then they could put in, you know, remove the stopper, put in a spigot, and draw a line that way without having to take off the cover. So this is what we have to picture for ourselves.
Sometimes they take off the cover and having tampered with it, they have to remove
right,
the cover.
Right,
another
right.
Another
if he breaks the seal of the cover over there, because the cover is separate, you know, was put on afterwards, and then plastered over or something like that. You understand? This is what you have to figure to yourself is what happened.
And that it could happen.
Right.
Which is the coming down to the main point.
Right.
Is that you mustn't stay away for any period of time.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Exactly. Right. Right. And don't tell them that you're going to be away for any period of time. Exactly. That's what it is.
I'll be right back.
So the Gemara wants to know, it says, Heichi Dami Bechesat Chamishtavir, says, how can you make an assumption of what type of watching is involved, you know, this Cheskas Chamishtavir, right? That the assumption is that it's under watch. So it says, Kedatanya. As we learned in a different situation, it says Hare Shehoyu Kamorov Fualin Tuunin Taurus. This is a quotation that they have from Chagiga, also from Tosefta and Taurus, but they deal with Taurus. Taurus, if you remember, means that it has to be in a state of purity, right? I mean, when people were concerned about Tara and Tuma, so in that particular case, he was carrying food which was tahor, watched over to make sure that it was a state of purity, right? And he asked, he gave it over to donkey drivers, those are the chamorov, or polov, or workmen, right? That they should carry it over. So afilo hiflig behed. Yosef and Mil, Tarei Sefaros. Even if he followed them only, let's say, at a distance of a mile, which is, you know, it's it's a lot. But nevertheless, it was there. You know, this is still in relative distance, you know, that they can see what's doing over there. So Tahara is self-tahoros. The food remains toho. However, if he said to them, Luchu, you go on, and I'll come afterwards. See you, I'll follow you. The moment that his eye could no longer follow them, literally, you know, his eye was hidden from them, he could no longer see what they were doing, then Tahareisav Tameyas. So we say that they're no longer Tahar, but they have now become Tome, right? So, just want to say, you know, that in kashrus, we don't have somebody standing over there. There are many authorities who feel that Basar should is Ali bin Ha'ayim, right, the meat is not under continual supervision from the time that it arrives, it's unpacked, etc., etc., and so on, that it's not kosher. This is one of the reasons, you know, why either you have to buy meat in a Jewish butcher shop where a Jew is watching all the time, right? Or to have what situation that we have, namely that the packaging is done today at the plant itself, where there is a rabbi always who's in attendance over there. So that once it's packaged and sealed, so then we don't worry about it anymore. Particularly, it should be double sealed, as we learned way, way back over there. But even a single seal, at least to a certain extent, is also something. So you can see how one thing ties in with another. I mean, as I've been pointing out again and again, that it isn't just this case, but there are parallel cases and so on. So here they bring in a parallel case from Tara and Tuma, okay? But again, what is the basic idea over here? If you can see it, you can see what's going on, even though, let's say, you're gone for a short distance or something like that, but you're around, close by, then in that particular case, it remains in the state that it can be considered tahor, or it can be considered kosher. But if you say, well, I'll be gone for the next hour or two or something like that, and you're not around to see what's going on, then in that particular case, a possible problem is going to arrive. So, we'll see. Okay. So they say, Maishnur Reisha, Maishnur Sefer. What is the difference between the first part of the statement and the second part of the statement? Rashi says, that what is the ratio? Says the ratio, he says, he sees, right, they can see him, the Noga, that he touched whatever it is, the Kotani to Udin Taris, right, that he, you know, they say that is Tahar. The Hane, Lav Chavius, to Shevis Estumas. And what Rashi is pointing out is the fact that here they're not talking about carrying the food in barrels which are sealed. If it was a sealed container, in other words, it would not be a problem. But he says here we're dealing with a problem where it's not in a sealed container, it's in an open container, and we want to make sure that what? That the workers, who presumably are not Talmidei Chachamim, that they're not perushim, as we would say, people who had taken an oath that they're going to eat only tahor. So, you know, they want to make sure that they didn't touch it, because by their touch, they could automatically make it tummy, okay? I don't want to say that tummy makes it not kosher, but for a person who observes tara and tuma than in that particular case, you know, in food, than in that particular case. It means you can't eat that food because it's with the tummy. So that's what Rashi is pointing out over there. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. So Rabbi Yitzchok said, Reisho v'metahe chamorva v'yolov. Lachach. It says, the first part of the statement where it says, you know, that it remains tohor, right? So this is where actually he went and he had these donkey drivers, all these workmen, immerse themselves in a mikveh prior to doing the job so that they were prepared, in other words, to carry food that was tohor and be sure not to make it tummy. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, sefer dami. So why can't you say that, you know, he says, I'll be gone for some time, right? That, you know, that he could have said to them, look, I want you to go into the mikveh and so on and so forth. So they say, excuse me, Ein Am Haaretz Makpid Al Maga Chaveiro. An Am Haaretz who is not normally careful about his own certainly is not going to be careful that another person doesn't touch it. So the Gemara says, Yehochi, if that's the case, I feel a ratio for me. So if that's the case, then what I would say at the beginning, that it's also so that they're not careful. So I said, no, I'm going to stop because my voice is just gone, but I just want to finish the sentence. The boss took a road which, you know, he goes a little bit on his sideways, but nevertheless he's still in a position, you know, where he can observe what's going on, even if he's not with them physically at the moment, but he can see what's going on over there. And so therefore they naturally are afraid to do something that will spoil the situation for them, because obviously he's not going to pay them if, you know, they cause a lot. So he says, hey, oh, if that's the case, say for Nami. Yeah. So he says, Kevon Omar Lahem, even as much as since he said to them, Lechu Vani Bachrechem, you go, and I'll follow you. In that case, they figured, look, he's got to be gone for God knows how long, and so on. So, and they're not going to be that careful. So that's the reason why. As you can see, hopefully I'll get through tonight's session without coughing too badly.
What do you mean by saying that the supervisor doesn't have to be continuous? If the Jew is watching the wine.
Yeah, 1 second, I'll go to it. I'll review it. Okay. All right. This is tonight is the 7th of November in the year 2007. I'm reviewing for a moment the Mishnah that we have in Avodah Zorah Samach Tes Amud Aleph 69A, and then we'll continue where we left off last week at the top of side B. The Mishnah gives us four different cases where, in general, it seems to be redundant because, you know, the same basic principle applies to all of the examples that they gave. Still, if they give four examples, it means that there has to be something in each particular case which doesn't apply to the others, even though they have a common thread. Okay, so what is the common thread, first of all? So the common thread says that if the Jew, I mean, the wine is under, you know, the Jew is there with the wine, right? And he has to step out for a little while. So, if he doesn't tell the guy that I'm going to be gone for this and this amount of time, or I'll be going to this and this place, and so on. So, in that case, the goy has the feeling that the Jew is going to come back any moment, and therefore, what won't he do? He won't even bore a hole into the side, let's say, of the wine cask, or take the cover off altogether, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because he wouldn't have time enough to do it in order to seal it up again, you know, so that the Jew shouldn't know that the wine had been tampered with. So in that case, we can trust the fact that the goy did not do anything to the wine, and so on. This is the basic principle. But if the balabas, the Jew, tells the goy that I'm going to be gone, let's say for the next half hour, or if he tells him I have to go down to the bank, which is at the other end of town or something like that, you understand? Then in that particular case, if the goy figures, hey, he's going to be gone for at least a half hour or something like that, then in the meantime, I can bore a hole into the barrel, take a sip of wine from it, then plug it up again, and he'll never know the difference. So, or I can remove the cover, which in those days was made generally of clay, or if not of clay, it was made of plaster, or something like that. I can remove the lid from on top, and then I'll make a new lid, I'll seal it again, and he'll never know the difference. I mean, that I did. So, in that particular case, even if the Jew comes back again at the time that you said that he would, then it's no good, because he gave him too much time, too much warning, too much advance warning, you know, that he's going to be gone for a certain amount of time, or he's going to be gone for a certain distance, and so on, so that the goy is not afraid to do what he does.
So the goy drinks from the same can.
Right, in that particular case, that the possibility is, you know, that he use it in order to make a libation. In other words, before he takes a drink, he says, you know, he makes his bracha to his deity over there. You understand?
So that
right. That's exactly what the point is, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, the different cases that they have in the Mishnah, the first case, the Jew and the goy are moving barrels of wine from one place to another. Okay? So, then, as we said, you know, if the goy is concerned that the Jew will be back any moment, then he's not going to do anything. But if, you know, he knows that the Jew will be gone for any period of time, then he can do whatever he wants to do. Okay. The second case.
You want me to get you some water, Phil?
Maybe it'll help, maybe it won't help, but I appreciate it. Thank you. The second case is that he put a barrel of wine into a wagon or into a boat, and he went for a short distance by a road in order, frankly, he went into town for a few moments, okay? So, the Mishnah goes even further. It says that if he went into town and he bathed, but he's back again, then the wine is considered okay. Why? Because the guy didn't know where he was going or how long he would be gone. But, again, if he told him, you know, I have to go this or this place and so on and so forth, then in that particular case, the guy knows he won't be around so soon, and he can do whatever he wants to do. So that was case number two. All right. Case number three was in a store. Okay? The Jew owns a store. Goy works for him, right? So even though the Jew is in and out of the store all the time, if he says to the goy, I'm going to be gone for a certain amount of time, then in that particular case, he can't rely on the fact that the goy is afraid, you know, that he'll come back before that time and so on. So it all depends what you say to him, okay? And the fourth case that they have is where a Jew and a goy are eating together. They're eating together, same table, right? And each one has a flask of wine. And there's also a sideboard which also contains a flask of wine. So, what's the story? If the Jew leaves the table, right, then in that particular case, the Mishnah says, what is on the table, the flask of wine, is prohibited, whereas what was the flask of wine, which is on the sideboard, is permitted. What is the supposition? The supposition is that the Jew will be gone, you know, for a few moments, not around over there at the moment, and so the goy can help himself to the wine on the table, but he won't have time to run over to the sideboard and drink from the wine over there. So that's why that wine is permitted. But again, what if he tells him, you know, says to him, look, you help yourself to the wine, then even that wine that's on the sideboard is also forbidden. Because again, it's parallel, you know, to the first three cases, that the goy is not afraid that the Jew is going to keep an eye on him, and particularly if he gets an open invitation to go help yourself to the drink, then that's it. So this is what the Mishnah had to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a one-on-one situation, and the goy couldn't have had an ally there? That's not assumed here.
Yeah, it's a one-on-one situation, right? Right.
Yeah, but,
if there's a group, there's even greater danger.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
The common thread of all four cases is the time allotted to from the...
yes, but...
And also what he said to...
What he said to the guy. That's
the guy.
What he said to the guy.
Yeah, so...
Because that's
a matter of...
That's really the determining factor.
That's very important.
Yeah, it's absolutely. All right. So, the Gemara, what we had at the bottom of Samach Tes Omer Aleph, brings in a parallel case of some place or another Mishnah which deals with Tumah and Tara. But again, over there, the thing is the same idea.
We're back on
69A. I'm just summarizing it right now. Right, summarizing it. That... here it's not a question whether it's kosher or not. What he has Jews working for him, but these Jews are Amoratzim. And what is the difference? The Amoratzim are not as careful when it comes to laws of Tara and Tuma, because they, they didn't necessarily hold from all the strictures that the Perushim, or the Chavirim, whatever term they want to use over there, used, where they took actually an oath that they're going to eat only in Tara, even though, you know, the food that they're eating is not sacrificial food. But nevertheless, they're going to preserve the same rules of Tara for it, which means that they have to be careful that it doesn't become contaminated with whatever might cause it to get tumah and so on. So... So here he has donkey drivers or workmen who are carrying these things for him, right? So the question is, do they remain tohor or have they become tomei? As I said, it's not a question of kosher or non-kosher, but it's a parallel idea. Do they become tomei or not? And here again, the answer is that if he went to the trouble, according to one of the authorities, of having the workmen immerse themselves in the mikveh beforehand, so that, you know, they would be in a state of tahara themselves when they carried the stuff, then in that particular case it still remains tahar. But if not, then in that particular case the chances are that it's become tomei.
These are Jewish workmen.
These are Jewish workmen, as I said. But the question is about whether they're amaratzim or not. And the reason being that
there are degrees
an
of amaratz.
Even if the amaratz himself now has been in the mikveh and is careful for himself, but he's not going to be so concerned if somebody else touches the wine. Obviously, I'm talking about another Jew, but who's not, you know, a learned Jew, and so who's right. not. So, all right. So now we come to the top of Omid Beis. All right. The second line again says, you know, the Kevin Omalahem, and once he said to them, who, you go on, and I'll come after you. So, naturally, what is the Samchadati? What is their own thoughts? That they don't have to be so careful, because he won't be back again. So, okay. So, they go now to the question about the you know, the Jewish storekeeper with a goyish employee, and the next the other example, the one who he deposited a barrel either on a wagon or on a boat and so on. So the Gemara wants to know, it's tzricha means, why do I have to have these as separate cases? Why couldn't I have learned it from the first case where we said, you know, that if he says to him, you know, if he doesn't tell them, he simply goes out for a few moments and then comes back or something, even if he's gone for a somewhat longer time, as long as he didn't tell him that he's going. So the guy feels he's going to be back any moment. He won't fool around with it. Whereas if the guy, if the Jew tells him, you know, I'm going to be gone for this and this amount of time, the guy says, okay, I have plenty of time to you know, to make the hole and drink it, right? So why can't we apply the same case then over here? So they say, I need it for these cases too. The Yitana Oivet Kechavim, if we learn only about, you know, the Edan Jew, you know, an idolater, the Sobar, who's of the opinion, Dilma Osei Vachasile, you know, he might come back and see what I'm doing, right? So he won't do it. Avol Bekore, no Besvina. But if it's on a wagon or on a boat, Amor says the Mafik Los Finte, I can go a distance away in my boat. Presumably the same thing, it doesn't say so about the wagon, but you know, you could say the same thing. I'll go in a, you know, this or this road or something like that, where he won't see me, right? So Meshum Nisova Dilma Osi Beucha Atrite, right? Kaya Gudo the Chazili, all right. So, why the guy will do whatever he wants, so it's like, yeah, the E Tana Bekoris says, so far, but the guy is of the opinion, the Kai Agud of Achazili. So, if he doesn't tell the guy that he's going away, so even if the guy is, let's say, on board his ship, right? Obviously, the ship, in all probability, has not been moved. The Jew goes up the hill, and the guy says to him, I better not fool around. Why? because he's liable to come by a different way and see what I'm doing, or he's liable to go on top of a wall or something like that, and he'll look down to see what's going down, whether the ship is still there in place, and I haven't touched anything. So then, as much as he can see me at any moment, I don't know when, so therefore he won't touch it, right? So therefore he won't do it then. But how about the guy who is working in the store for a Jewish one? So Amo, he could say, Achid lo lebava, the other called away. Say, Goy, the Jew is gone, I'll go lock the door and I'll do what I feel like doing. So kamash molon, nevertheless, we learn what? We learn that if he doesn't tell him in advance where he's going, how long he's going to be gone, or something like that, the guy will still be afraid that he'll be back any moment, back in the store again, and therefore he won't do anything. But if he lets him know in advance that he's going to be gone for this amount of time, or he's going this to this place, and that particular, which is at a distance, then in that case, nothing is to prevent the guy from locking the door and doing what he wants to. Omar Rabba Bar Al-Khana, Rabbi Yochanan says, Machloikis Bishel Sid, Adol Bishel Tid, the Yakol, Kadesh Yutabi Yigov, Yigov. All right, this is getting back again to what we had on the other side before. The guy says, I can make a hole, right? Or I can lift up the lid, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and then I'll make a new lid for it, since, and it won't be recognizable. So, the question is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is the lid made of? The lid, which has to be is removed and then put back again. Is it sid? Sid is plaster, or is it tit, which is clay? It says, Machlokes is bishel sid. All right, that the difference of opinion is if you're using plaster as a cover, but when it comes to clay, says everybody is in agreement that it's only a matter of the amount of time for him to open it up and seal it and take whatever he wants and seal it up again and let it dry. So Mesbei Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel L'Chachamim. So they say, look, Rav Shimon Gamliel said L'Chatu the Chachamim, who are nameless in the Mishnah, and says, Valos Tumei Nikar Bein Mamal Minotah. Can't you recognize a replacement, whether it's on top or whether it's on the bottom? In other words, a lid. A lid has a top, it has a bottom to it, right? And it says, you can recognize that it's a replacement, whether it's on the top or whether it's on the bottom. If you say that the machloik is as far as clay is concerned, machloikas, then Haina de Katoni, this is what we learn, Stume Nikor, Bein Lamala, Bein Lamata. You can recognize that a new cover has been replaced and where it's been patched up, whether it's above or whether it's below. Why? Because clay is, it's a sticky substance and it's a powdery substance. So that therefore, it's not going to look exactly alike. It'll look as if it were tampered with.
In other words, what they're saying, the clay patch won't blend in.
Right.
But the plaster patch
exactly.
Won't blend in.
Right. Eliyamit Bishal Sidbach looks, but if you say that the difference of opinion is when it comes to plaster, so Bishlam on the bottom, Yodia. If it's on the bottom, you can tell. It's below the, you know, the bottom part of the lid. Because all that he's plastering is what? The top. Ela Lamala, right? Holo Yodia. On the top, it could be that he takes it and he smooths it over so that you can't recognize it again. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who the Lo Yoda. So he says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he didn't know. Mike, I remember what the sages said. And so that's the reason why he said, Ibisheltit, Kamritu. If you're talking about clay, Stumunikar, it can be recognized. Bein Amala, Bein Amata, whether it's on top or below. Ibisheltit, Kamritu. However, if you're talking about plaster, Neither Amala, Yodia. So even though on top he could work on it and so on, so that you can't recognize it, but the bottom, me who you are. The bottom, definitely, you can tell the difference. Rabbanan came to the mala lo yodia, lo masek adalti, the apik v'chazile. And as far as the rabbis are concerned, inasmuch as you can't recognize it from above, so the goy is not going to take it into his head that he should turn it over and take a look and see what's in the bottom. Inami, likewise sometimes, zimnin the cholim. There are times, however, when it does blend in so beautifully that you can't tell. And so therefore, it goes back again, right? And we would say that it should be prohibited. Omar Rava, Rabbi said, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, hold it non-stomach, I was him. Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel because the nominous author of the Mishnah also follows him. Ditanan, as we've learned, you know, in the last example, Hoya Oichel al HaShulchan, right? He was eating at his table, Imo, that is the guy was eating at the table with him, Vihiniach Login al HaShulchan. And he left a flask on the table. Yeah. And the goy had, but the Jew also. We're concerned not about what the goy had, but we're concerned about what the Jew. The Jew left today.
Okay.
Logan Aldovki had also a flask on the sideboard. The hidiach, right, and he left it, and the yotzah, and he went out, the Jew went out, so mashal hashulchan also, right, so whatever on the table, in other words, the flask on the table is prohibited, whereas mashal hadufki mutar, whatever is on the sideboard is permitted. The imam halui, and if he said to him, have a mozoi, v'shaysev, go help yourself to the wine, literally mix it and drink it. In other words, as I explained why they use the term limzok, mozok, and so on. The answer is because in those days they had to add water to the wine in order to dilute it, they know, so it could be drinkable, because otherwise the wine was suit. So he says to him, go help yourself to the wine. So afshal hadufki also. Then in that particular case, whatever is on the sideboard is also prohibited. And the end of the Mishnah said, Chovios Pesuchos Asuros. Now, in the same house where he has the goy there, so it also says that if he has barrels that are open, then in that case they are prohibited, and Stubos, but if on the other hand they are sealed, then Mutaris.
Oh.
Right, they are permitted. Kadesha Yiftach Vayigav Vesigav, provided that it's not a time where he steps away from the table in which the goy would have the opportunity to open up the barrel, right, and then seal it again and dry up, you know, with a new cover. So the Gemara says, Pshita. It should be obvious that Mahu de Tamor Kulo Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What if you say that the entire Mishnah follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Kotani lo komashmolot. Therefore, we learn that he's not the author of the entire thing, but you know, he gives his opinion to each and every one. And inasmuch as we follow Rabbi Shimon Abdul in this particular case, the Lord Chayesh and Sitzuma, that we are not concerned, you know, that if he's gone only for a short time, that he's going, you know, to open it up, etc., 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 and then close it up, and so on, and recover, etc. Right? So it follows his opinion. And also, this we had a previous teaching way, way back, where we said, if the seal is there, we're not concerned he's going to try to make a new seal. Because he's not that capable at the time. So, the Gemara says, okay, we've had some very lenient opinions said that if he goes out, right, without telling him, that we can rely upon the fact that the goy will be afraid that he's going to be back any minute, and therefore won't shepherd. So, in that particular case, so today, nowadays, he says, my tabo the lomis vidit chamra biyad kochavim biyadayda kochavim. Then why don't we permit wine to be left with idolaters? So the answer is Mishum Shaicha. The reason being, because as Rashi explains, he says, Nekev Dak Miyod, Shehumin Kufas Kofis, in the stopper of the barrel they put in a tiny hole, very tiny hole. The purpose being, in order to permit the fermentation of the wine to go out, you know, the gases or something like that that it produces. But we're concerned, he says, Rashi explaining with the Gemara over here, that he might bore a little bit more into this hole. The Yito Minayim, and then, you know, he'll put in a straw or something or other inside of it, and he will drink the wine. So this is the reason why today we don't leave barrels of wine with in charge of a goy. You have to be under Jewish supervision all the time. All right. I don't have to tell you.
In reality,
right.
You could be there all the time. Watching.
Reality today, needless to say, if you buy a Jewish wine,
and it's sealed.
Right, it's sealed and so on. And today, the whole wine process in general is very highly automated.
Yeah.
So that.
Is that also the reason why they don't allow it to pass over, say that he's not allowed him to pour the wine?
He should not pour the wine. Except, as I explained, again and again, that with Yayin Mevushal, we're not concerned, because Yayin Mevushal was not used in libations to the idols. But still...
Used by the goyim.
Right, right. They didn't use boiled wine. They used only, you know, real... unadulterated wine and so on.
Virgin wine.
Right. So from that point of view, but is it right to allow a goy to pour? That's already a different story. You're talking about a hotel, for example, where you have a goy. Well, as long as it's serving a yayin mevushal, then you don't have to worry on that particular score. But if it were not mevushal, and there are some bottles of wine that are not mevushal, then in that particular case, you can have for the whole year.
Well,
Kenneth makes one type of wine which is not official. because there are Hasidim, for example, who don't want to drink Bagushal. They say for Shabbos, for Pesach, and
why?
So on.
What's the
their reasoning is that you should be drinking wine the way it was poured in the Beis HaMikdash. Wine in the Beis HaMikdash was not Bagushal. On the other hand, they didn't have goyim either pouring your wine. The Kahanim were doing the job over there.
Over there,
right? Pardon me? Oh, that's a brand you're talking about. Oh.
California wine.
Oh, yeah, I'm not familiar with it. I only know Kedem wines. Manischewitz. Manischewitz has improved. Once upon a time, Manischewitz was also looked down upon. But then when they went,
yeah.
Most of the Israeli wines that come to us are Mevushal.
What about this hole in the wall? Did you discuss that yet?
What about what?
A very small hole is often used to let the gases out.
Right.
Huh?
He says that the reason why we don't permit it now is because of this hole. Because, as Rashi says, the guy might simply enlarge the hole a little bit and put in a straw and so on and drink the wine.
So how do you? So the answer to that is you don't allow it to be left alone.
Right. Right.
Where was this hole? Is it in the
Either it could be on the top of the lid, or it could be maybe in the side if they have a plug inside, you know, that they could insert a spigot in or something like that.
To allow the gases.
No, right.
Temptation.
Yeah.
Why? Bubbles.
Yeah. Well, it ferments. You know, right. Takes me back to the days when we decided to make wine because we have a grapevine in the back and we wanted to have our own special wine, the covered David's Bar Mitzvah, I remember. So we made it. It was very successful that year. So we said, okay, we'll do it again. Next time that we tried it, the wine spoiled. It turned into vinegar or something like that. So, you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you have to leave. You can't. You have to cover it.
An amateur is is not very successful. And we were amateurs. Yeah. All right. We are now down the second line from the bottom over there. Omar Rava. Okay. So, this harks back again to the last part of the Mishnah. We were talking about a Jew and a Goy eating together at the same table.
Yeah,
right. So, here's the story. Zayna Leivedes Kechavim. You have a prostitute.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Who's a Goy. Okay. The Yisrael. And you have a Jew. I'm assuming that's the one. And his eating together with her. Okay.
Oh boy. He's having a party.
Right. So it says Chamra Shari, the wine is permissible. That's what we're talking about, the wine that the Jew has.
Right.
I'm not talking about the wine that she has. The Jewish wine is permissible because it says the Takif Lahu Yitzro the Adero. Right? Because he says the urge to commit sin, which means in this particular case sexual intercourse and so on, is strong. Whereas the next page over there, Ayin Amin Aleph, Yitzra the Yayin Nesuch Loi Takif Lehu, the desire to pour a libation to Avodah Zarah is not as important. Between the two, sex is the greater.
You're talking about the Jew.
Right. So that therefore, she's not interested in pouring the wine of the Jew. She's more interested in the business that, we'll have. Right. Okay. All right. But the Gemara continues, Zayna Yisraelis, What if, however, the prostitute is Jewish? Right? Right? And you have Goyim who is sitting there drinking together with them, right? So in that particular case, Chamra, even if she, if the wine is hers, right? It's also, it's prohibited. My Tama, for what reason? Ha'il v'zila alayhu v'aswayhu gerira. Inasmuch as she is very cheap in their eyes, so likewise she's going to be dragged in to do whatever they want. If she sells her services to them, then obviously she's not that careful.
It was a Jewish harlot with Graham.
Right, right.
Oh, okay.
Right. So in that particular case, you know, if they feel like drinking wine, take her away, she's not going to object because, she wants the business. What shall I say? Right.
You're not saying it's the right thing.
No. We're saying that that's right. It's simply an observation. Right.
The latter.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to see. We'll take a little bit the next page, and I think I'll stop after that. Yeah, because my throat is killing me right now. Excuse me. All right, so Sahul Besa, it's a certain house, the Havayosu Bechamu the Yisrael, right, where a Jew had his wine. All Evid Kachavim, a goy came, Achto Ladosha, he locked the door, Ape, in the presence of whoever it was, right, Havad Besa, Ladosha. But there was a crack in the door.
A hole in the door.
Right. Ishtakach Evet Yechovim Dekai Beni Dona. So through the hole in the door, what did the Jew see? He saw that the guy was standing among the barrels of wine.
In the barrels, yeah.
Right. The Jewish barrels, right. So,
Omar
Robus, Robus said, call the Mahade Biza Shore, the High Gisa. High Gisa, the High Gisa, also.